Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother. Soundboard works. This is cool. So that worked on the first try.
Awesome. Hello, and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Comrade Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
And Comrade General Ken with a backwards K, because we use the Cyrillic alphabet in the Freemasons Podcast.
Today's episode 219, we titled it From Russia with Love. Mm-hmm. We got an article that we brought up, and it's controversial.
Yeah, this is going to be a problem.
It's going to be funny as hell, though. And but first we have some likes to do.
I hope we do.
I'm actually going to start off this time while you Ken's really looking
should.
It up.
Yes, please.
With Apple reviews. We actually had one from Canada, but I cannot see it. You might be able to bring it up, right, Ken?
Yeah, Chartable? I can bring that one up.
But for now, the one that we can see for I don't understand that. How come we can only see ones that Americans?
Because you're looking in the iTunes app. And it kind of like pre-filters everything to your region, whereas when we look at Chartable, it looks across all the sites and stuff. So
I got my sound on.
You're broadcasting.
I don't understand why it does it. It's aggravating because it makes it extremely difficult for me to see.
Well, it's because Apple believes that they know better than you what you need. So yeah,
of course they do.
That's the problem.
Greg's now in EA is his name. 5-star review. Good stuff. Started listening about 6 months ago. I drive a lot and have gone back and listened to all the past episodes. Now I find myself waiting for the new episodes. Here we are. Hmm. Just this last week, joined Lodge 97 in Newark, Ohio as an EA. Your podcast is part of what convinced me to petition the lodge. Glad I did. Thank you. No. Thank you.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you, brother.
And I'm glad you started your journey. I'm glad we were able to help. You know, I love reviews like that.
Yeah. It makes us happy. It makes us feel like we're doing this for a good reason and not just for our own edification, our own sick jollies.
Derek Arson, Arkson says Arson. Nah. Hashtag where's Joe? Josie was never real.
We're waiting on him.
Derek says, hopefully y'all are well this afternoon. As of right now, Spetsnaz hasn't shut us down.
Yeah.
So we're good.
So far. KGB. I did get that one from Canada, though.
Oh, yeah.
The one that you read was the only one you had, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Fire away.
So we have one from Canada here, and it was titled, Not Just Another Masonic Podcast. Yep, that's true. 5-star review. I always wait in anticipation for the next episode. George, Joe, Ken... have great in-podcast chemistry. They make you feel like you're hanging out with the guys. Keep up the good work. I love listening and always leave with a smile. And that's Crane Guy.
Awesome.
From Apple Podcasts on Canada. Thank you, brother.
Kenny, lead it.
All right. Brother, right hand, two arms.
Two arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire, good fire, fire all.
We'll see if it's a good fire or not. Mm.
Together, brother.
Vivat, vivat, vivat. It wasn't bad.
I haven't keeled over yet.
Nope.
It didn't taste like anything except limoncello. We have an ancient bottle of limoncello here.
Limoncello in penicillin.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably something grosser than that that starts growing in those bottles. But it didn't taste bad.
Let's see here. Keith Noonan must have quit, or can Patreon money go towards finding a PI?
The jury's
out. Sean Osler, what's up, brothers? Master Mason on March 8th. Hey, congratulations.
Congrats, brother.
Music off. Joe was a hologram or a figment of our imagination? Both.
No, he was real. I've hugged him before.
He was a real boy. He's
flesh and blood. Just like us. I've got some new likes over here on Instagram, or new followers.
Yep.
Fire away. Let's see. Where did I leave off last? We'll start here. Did I say Kevin Kozlowskis?
No.
Who was up here, our brother?
I don't think so.
The one that was standing behind you?
Fee-fi-fo-fo?
Intimidating you?
Yeah.
I don't know
if we did.
We'll start with that. Kevin Kozlowskis, James Lipsett, Blake Castle, Ben Spurlock, Cesar Rubio, Yukon Lodge, number 90 AF and AM. Hello, brothers.
Nice.
Shane Hersberger, Joey the Kid, Clay Condra, Polar Seltzer, and it's,
fuck.
It's Puppet George holding two bottles of Polar Seltzer.
You guys are some sons of bitches, you know that? This shit never gets old.
No,
it really doesn't. It won't just die already.
Jokes don't die on the show. Chris Meekins, that's in a different language. I can't even pronounce what that is. Drake Private, Damian DeLangeron, close enough. William Miller, Patrick Smith, Mellon, Adrian Poyser, Gil Barsonal, and Kenneth Stanbridge.
Very nice.
Thank you, brothers and friends.
I'm only going to toast with beer this time because I actually like my liver where it is.
Yeah, I mean, it tastes okay, but...
It's okay, but listen...
Not tempting
you
fate.
Don't, you don't chance death twice.
No.
Brother, right hand arms.
To arms.
Ready?
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire, good fire, fire all. Together, brother. Vivat, vivat, vivat. I'm not a big IPA guy, but this is pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad, and it's super citrusy. This is actually Sam Adams' Wicked Hazy.
It's not bad.
They have another one that's Wicked something. I can't remember what it is, but they have a couple different IPA varieties. And yeah, this one's solid. It's drinkable. It's not, $40 for a four-pack.
Mm.
So, I dig it.
What do we say? Be ready to start, comrade.
Oh, God. Do we really have to do this? I have to. I'll find the image that you...
Very first thing we need to talk about is breaking news, actually.
Mm.
This came right off the press a little while ago. Ken is going to put up the news article. But basically, as soon as he gets there, we're going to break it.
Well, I don't have the news article. I have the...
No. I know. I'm just going to read
flash.
I'm going to read the headline.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I'm going to read the headline. As soon as Ken gets it up, let me know when it's live. And
no, it's not up there yet. We're in studio mode. I gotta get this. I'll put this right here. Okay, you ready?
Ready when you go.
Okay, here we go.
This article comes out, and it actually says mysterious large circles on Russian radar turn out to be President Zelensky's massive testicles. This is hot off the press not too long ago. For anybody who's interested,
you heard it here second, probably. So, we're here to serve.
I just wanted everyone to know that that's what they see on radar.
Yep. So, miracles of modern technology, ladies and gentlemen.
Anyway, let's get into this now. Now that the horse shit.
Oh, yeah. Enough screwing around. Let's talk about serious geopolitical happenings.
So, you can go ahead.
We're missing an F-bomb.
Call us. The little one over there has the F-bomb. Yes, you go ahead. You can say that we're...
There we go.
There's going to be a lot of F-bombs going.
Much better, yeah.
You could say that we're trolling or using the advantage of the... I don't know. What's the current climate, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're not journalists, so I think we can pretty much throw out that as an argument. Like, we're not going for ratings here. It's just, it's something that's been on our mind because...
Of what's going on?
Things are going on in the world. We didn't start it.
Nope.
Although there are some people who think that we did.
Yeah, we're going to get into that right now.
Yeah.
So this is from an article from 2014 called from the MoscowTimes.com, independent news from Russia. And it says, caption, rebel leader blames Ukrainian war on the Freemasons. Here we go again.
Yep. So this was back at the beginning of the Russo-Ukrainian war. It started kind of around, 2014, 2015, somewhere in that area.
It is really funny how, if somebody has an incorrect bowel movement, it becomes our fault.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they put too much spice in the fava beans or something
It could be a bad chilly night at the lodge or something like that, and it's a conspiracy. So we're trying to kill you all of a sudden.
So, I'm going to read this article, and we're going to pick it apart
piece by piece. This one's fun.
This one's going to be a fun one. Adding a new actor to the Ukrainian civil war, the chief of the pro-Russian separatists' internal security blamed the ongoing conflict on U.S. and European Masons. Nobody's to blame that our banks, shops, the airport, are closed, except for the Ukrainian fascists and the Masons of the U.S. and Europe. Vladimir, told the Novaya Gazeta newspaper. When asked whether he was serious...
Yeah, so at least the journalists are doing their due diligence. They're like, yo, are you for real right now?
Dude, what?
Like, of course.
Bring me my vodka.
Of course. Fact is, do you dispute it?
Shit.
I am a scientist.
This is going to be very difficult to go through. My face is already hurting. let's read this again. When asked whether he was serious, he queried back, aren't we aware of the influence that Masonic lodges wield in the West?
Who's this we you speak of?
Antifreve, whatever his name is, gave no answer. It's seriously, I don't mean to be an asshole. I just want to say this right now. But some of these last names sound like the beginning part of a sneeze. Okay. So bear with me.
Let me see if I can pronounce this guy's name for you. You continue. I'll open the article up.
He gave no answer to his own question, but said he personally studied the matter as a political scientist.
No.
Is that even a real thing? Or is that some bullshit class that they give you in college?
I mean, you can get a degree. You
what
can
is
get a
political
doctorate.
Scientist?
No, you can get a well, it's called political science. It's a class. They have it in universities here in the U.S. as well, and you can get a doctorate in it, man.
Oh, God. And what's your job? What do?
You get a job in politics. I mean, like,
what do you do?
I don't know, something in politics. I don't have a degree in political science. Ask a political scientist what you pay off student debt for the rest of your life.
We get a shitload of hate mail like, you son of a bitch!
Yeah, I have a degree in
it's a real degree!
I get it. I know it is.
It came from Ashford University!
So we're talking about Vladimir Antifoyev. Antoyfoyev. Vladimir Antoyfoyev. That's what I got, man. I think right.
So what I'm going to do is back in the day, remember I used to stop and I couldn't pronounce something and let you do it? We're going to do that.
Okay.
All right. So he said he also advised the reporter not to argue with him because he is a scientist. Oh, that's always
a valid argument
all the time. Yeah. Definitely makes you win an argument every time. Mm-hmm. And said that the world should be rid of the U.S., which he said was demonic construct.
Told him that, I guess.
His name?
Antifayev.
63 is the deputy prime minister of the self-proclaimed People's Republic of Donetsk, which has been fighting since March for secession and a union with Russia.
Mm-hmm. So that's actually a little piece of the Ukraine that Russia's kind of set up a construct government. They are separatists. They believe in the Russian cause. So that's actually one of the two that are involved in the most modern or the most recent events.
You're right.
In the Russo-Ukrainian war. So.
Do you want to switch that screen?
Just I don't know if this guy's still in power at all, but he's... Switch it to what?
Just the YouTube thing so I can read the comments.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
it's fine. I just can't keep switching on my computer. In 2003, he defended a doctoral thesis on Russia's geostrategy in the Southwest at the Russian Presidential Academy of National Economy and Public Administration in Moscow. Mm-hmm. The Academy's alumni include the Kremlin's current propaganda czar, name Ken.
Where are we?
Voloslav.
Okay, hold on.
What?
Defense Minister, ultra concerned. Okay, here we go. Public administration in Moscow, Kremlin's current propaganda czar. Oh, God.
Yep.
Vyacheslav Volodin. Vyacheslav Volodin, yes, him.
Defense Minister Sergei
Shoigu.
And ultra-conservative lawyer Arina
Yarovaya.
A former policeman,
Antoyev,
has been implicated in the failed attempt to put down the Latvian thank you.
There you go.
Separatist movement in 1991. He also spent two decades in the security chief in the pro-Russian state of...
Transnistria.
A job which landed him in the EU blacklist in 2004. He was sacked from his job in...
Transnistor.
In 2012. And fled to Russia amid abuse of office charges, but soon faced surfaced as an actor in the Ukrainian insurgency, where he supervises internal job security, a job that earned him the Gray Cardinal nickname.
Novaya Gazeta.
Reported. Here we go.
Yep.
Freemasonry, a quasi-religious fraternity. What does quasi mean? What does that even mean? It sounds like something
somewhat,
in space.
Somewhat.
All right.
So like somewhat religious, which we know is not the case, but, you know, it's the media.
I got a muscle spasm in my left shoulder. It feels like I'm being poked by the ghost of
Joe. Oh, isn't that funny when that happens?
Weird, man. Well, anyway, the fraternity can be traced back to the 18th century. It was a frequent target of Russia's pre-revolutionary conspiracy theorists. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that many prominent historical figures in Russia, including the poet Alexander Pushkin and Napoleon's defeater,
Mikhail Kutuzov.
No shit. Mikhail Kutuzov, who defeated Napoleon, who was another Mason.
He was a Mason.
Yep. Was a Mason.
Yeah. That's it awesome. Happens. Yeah.
And that's pretty much the end of the article.
Yeah, so he's a scientist, so we can't argue. So that's been the show, folks. And for the Freemasons podcast.
Actually, while we're at it, I'm going to look up this
Mikhail Zhukov or Zhukov.
Yeah, I'm going to look him up. Zhukov, I'm going to see what this guy's all about.
Yeah, so I found it kind of interesting, and this seems to come up, well, whenever you talk to somebody who's really off the rails, it's always the Nazis and the Freemasons conspiring together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people have heard us talk about World War II. I'm sure if you've heard any of the shows that we've done on World War II in the past, you've heard us talk about the fact that the Nazis put around 200,000 Masons in concentration camps. Right? 200,000 Masons were executed for no other reason than they were Masons. Right, so to say that there's some kind of conspiracy between fascists, or in particular Nazis and Freemasons, is so unbelievable as to be, you know, bordering on the absurd. So to use that as a justification for, you know, invading another country, one of your neighboring countries, just seems insane to me. I could be wrong. It could just be that I have, like, a, you know, a veil pulled over my eyes because I happen to be a Freemason, but I know for a fact that we're not, you know, conspiring against any world leaders, especially not any in the West or in the East. So it just seems like a really, like, we're just, there's a reason, but we're not going to tell you what it is, and we're just going to grasp at straws.
Pretty much.
And maybe it's easy, you know, maybe they're convincing people somewhere, but not in this room. Like, it's just not a valid reason to invade a country.
So we got a question on here from Derek Arkson, and he says, not to be an ass. We're all asses, so.
Well, but he's prefacing it, so.
Fitting right in.
He's automatically not an ass because he said not to be an ass.
That's like when he says, not to be a dick. That's usually my line.
Yeah. Okay, well, then he's just going to be whispering good counsel from now on because.
But aren't y'all trying to reverse the declining trend of membership as the old fellows step down?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of why we're on a podcast, kind of why we show the lighter side of Freemasonry, showing that we like to laugh and joke around and have a good time. Yeah, I'd say so.
Show some of the real face of Masonry, yeah.
How does that work with the overwhelming influence bit?
I don't follow.
Don't follow. Can you elaborate on that last one? How does that work with the overwhelming influence bit? Could you please just
that,
elaborate a
I
little
guess
bit more?
Maybe
now.
The maybe he's talking about the you know the thought, the belief out there that Freemasons have a lot of influence. I mean, it's like a chicken and egg thing with that, right? Because it just so happens that. You know, you look at certain, especially in history, you look at leaders, and a lot of the leaders out there were Freemasons, just because there were a lot more men in general that were Freemasons, right? Your sample size was a lot higher, so of course there's going to be some influential people that tended to be Masons.
You said
but are they in their position because they're Masons?
Mm.
Or do they just so happen to be in that position and then became Masons? And it's usually a little bit of, well, it's usually more... You know, they became Masons after they were in those positions. It's not like Freemasonry lifted them up into those positions. It just so happens that you know, men of like mind gathered together under the flag of the fraternity.
Again, and we come from all walks of life. There's
right.
people who are high up in politics. There's some people who are high up in military. There's people who are just
like
your
you and me,
everyday people.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's bound to happen at some anyone. Point. But yeah. he did right. He said, "No hate. I'm applying at local lodge myself." Awesome. Congrats. That's
right
awesome. He said, "Free thinking, articulate individuals are a major threat to fascists."
100%.
Damn right.
It tends to be those types of organizations that don't like Freemasons, and you're so kind of seeing that now.
To answer his to reply to what he was saying is, how does that work with the overwhelming influence bit? He said, "Russian ministers' accusations."
No. Well, I mean, I guess the easy way to defend against that is, I mean, look at the facts behind what Freemasons actually do. I mean, I guess you could still say, you know, I'm sure there's still the really out there conspiracy theorists that'll say, oh, well, they're not going to tell you what they actually do. They're doing it all behind closed doors.
Here's the other problem. All right. You got to look at it from the political side. This guy is he's a politician. He said, I'm a political scientist. Don't question
me.
I'm a political scientist.
Yep.
And what politicians do. They will manipulate or look for a reason to blame someone else to basically get their ambitions. This guy was from Donetsk, or whatever the hell that region is.
.NET SDK,
which wanted to separate from Ukraine. So he's going to look for anyone to blame to say, you know, we want to be part of Russia. So he's pretty much doing what he's supposed to do as a politician,
right.
which is feed you a line of BS.
Yeah, and demonize the rest.
Ukraine,
right? So he's just like a little piece of it.
Right.
And I'm sure he's advocating that Russia come in and take the rest of it. And how best to do that? Well, you make everybody else look like horrible
right.
animals or something.
I mean, it's just human nature to I wouldn't say human nature, but there are some people who have no problem owning their shit and saying, yeah, whatever, I did it. You know, I was wrong. I did it. You know, or being honest about what they're doing. You know what I mean? But most people in these particular spheres of influence, being politicians or somebody high up, they're going to justify what they do by blaming someone else.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much what you're seeing. This is no different than, you know, people who go up there and say, you know, y'all need Jesus and the Masons are bad, but
otherwise people see you as a fascist dictator.
Put some money in the...
You gotta justify why you're doing these things, because
put that money in the basket that comes around every Sunday.
When the hat is passed around.
Yeah. Hef Tiger. Hello. I know this is a bit off topic, but became an EA 2 weeks ago, and you guys were an important part of the process for me. Just wanted to say thank you. You are extremely welcome. We do our best. And
also, Half Tiger, that is not off topic at all, because that's kind of the underlying topic to all of our episodes. So thank you. I'm glad.
And Derek said again, trying to discredit Western or outside influence. Yeah, because if you can't control the narrative, you're going to get an opposing position. And did you actually see, and I don't want to get too much into what's happening over there and wherever, but did you see that the Russians that were captured, the soldiers, they were being interviewed, and they thought they were still on they're still on just maneuvers. They didn't realize what they were doing.
No, I didn't see that.
Pretty wild. Look it up. It's a YouTube video.
That's interesting.
Let's see here. Joseph Schultz, the first casualty in the war is truth. God damn right.
It's true.
That is absolutely 1,000% correct.
And you got a lot of people that are still, well, not a lot of, I guess like the military elite and stuff in Russia that still kind of remember the days of the Cold War, right? And they have that kind of like nationalistic pride where it's like, oh, you know, we can occupy all of our neighbors. It's part of Russia. We need to take it back. So I think he's kind of preying on that to a certain extent. And I think a lot of the individuals that he put in charge in some of these like separatist regions are doing the same thing.
Right.
But yeah, if that's not good enough, then you start reaching for the stars and say it's Freemasons or Nazis or whoever.
I'd love to know if the Grand Lodge of Russia, where they stand on all this.
I don't know if there is a Grand Lodge of Russia?
Oh, yeah. There's a Grand Lodge of Russia.
Mm-hmm. All right. I thought it was still kind of frowned upon or maybe outright banned there.
There's
definitely a Grand Lodge
of Russia. They got a Facebook page where they're all standing there. Like, I'd love to know where they stand on it and what they're doing.
There's Ukrainian Masons for sure. I looked that up.
Because we know Grand Lodges love to, and this is here in the United States, it's everywhere, they love to stick their nose.
Sometimes they do.
Into political things.
Sometimes
they
do.
They probably shouldn't.
It definitely depends on the jurisdiction. Mm. I think in general, Grand Lodges tend to stay out of affairs of state.
But do they?
But some, well, I think in general, most do.
I'm trolling.
Yes, no, I know. You're trolling me. But I also have a microphone, so.
I know. I was looking for an elaboration. I was just being an asshole.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into details. Here we go.
Let's see here. Does the Grand Lodge of Ukraine and Russia recognize each other?
Question.
Probably not anymore.
I don't know that really Maybe. They ever did, or at least definitely not since 2014, 2015, when the war started up. But
yeah, but I mean, does Freemasonry transcend that? Does Freemasonry in the Grand Lodges transcend like the different, like the political, or the border lines?
It certainly should. I like to think that in most cases, yes.
I mean, I believe that the Grand Lodge of the United States recognized the Grand Lodge of Russia, I believe.
That's also
good. Oh, I got to find the book.
Yeah, I don't have the book. It's around here. It's probably on your secretary's desk. Your old secretary's desk. I'm sorry.
You better clarify that shit right now.
I don't want to get any hate mail. I don't want to get a punch across the jaw across the table over here.
But anyway, while we're on the subject, we were talking about how a couple of the Russians were... Christ, I lost my train of thought. I had a brain fart. Oh, Masons. prominent Russians were Freemasons, and we got some names up here. The Grand Duke Alexander Mikhailovich of Russia. I'm trying to find some names.
What's
the
date on that? Was that like 1800s?
No, I got to go into
like
each name.
Modern?
So okay. We're talking 1866
okay.
to February 1933. So okay. Kind of during the middle of the Red October.
Yeah, that's, I guess that qualifies as pre-revolutionary Russia, right?
Yep, I guess so.
Depending on when he was made a Mason, okay. So it was definitely popular back then. Wondering if we got any modern guys here.
Vladimir Dmitrievich. That was from 1870. Interesting. That's what I'm looking for is the modern guys. Pavel, nope, definitely not him. Pavel... Yeah, but Klonov.
Wow, I need to be closer. So
you can't. Alexander Pushkin, that sounds relatively modern. Nope.
Yeah, he's one of the famous.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was referenced.
He was a Russian
article.
Poet.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
He was the famous Russian poet.
And that was 1799 to basically 1810, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to find too many modern ones because, like I said, probably during and after the Cold War, I'm sure it was Freemasonry was suppressed in that region.
It's just a shame. Like, I want to see pictures. There's got to be a new guy in here somewhere. Mark Chengal. He's French. He's a French artist. How the hell is that? Maybe he's Russian by birth.
Born Russian, yeah.
I'm looking here. I'm trying to find somebody that's, like, fairly modern. Wish there was.
Well, you might be able to find something on the Russian Grand Lodge website.
Yeah, if I can read it.
Yeah, well, they don't have an English language version.
I don't think so. I'm just kind of popping these pictures up and looking, like...
Well, even if you look at, like, famous...
Oh, here we go. Boom!
American.
Here we go. Look at this guy. He's fairly... Okay. Oh, yeah. He was... Okay, so we have Dmitry Livanov.
Okay.
All right. Let's give you some shout-outs, Dmitry. He's a fairly new guy. He was in office... as a special representative to the president on trade and economic relations with Ukraine.
Okay.
All right. He was in office the 19th of August, 2016, to the 5th of October, 2018. He was succeeded by office disestablished.
So it's like the old argument where it's like, we can't fire him. What are we going to do? Let's eliminate his position.
You want to talk about
just eliminate his position. Yeah.
Famous last day? I am definitely leaving an Upper Decker in the men's room. Right? Not only are they firing you, but also they're eliminating your job. Like, what's to lose at that point, right? Somebody's getting
an
Upper Decker.
Well, your credibility and, like, they could... you still want to, like, have... people be able to conduct reference checks.
Don't
right?
be a naysayer.
Be like,
let me have my fun.
We fired
let
him
me,
for a cause.
Let me have my fun thinking about leaving an Upper Decker in my last job.
I mean, you can do it. I'm not.
All right. So anyway, it says here.
It's all you.
In 1990, he graduated from the Physical Chemistry Department of Moscow Institute of Steel and Alloys. In 1990-1992, he studied at the postgraduate. I want to find where his lodge info.
Yeah, so he was involved in like outreach type stuff to the Ukraine, right? He was like forming, economic.
Yeah.
Building bridges and stuff with the Ukraine. So maybe that's part of their justification for saying that Freemasons are trying to.
Potentially.
It's still a pretty weak argument, if you ask me.
I guess so.
Grand Lodge of Russia.
Oh, you look up the Grand Lodge of Russia. You can go into it.
Yeah, I'm not really seeing anything in English except for their Wikipedia article, which I don't know if that's all that accurate.
I wish I had some information in this Masonic stuff. I'm not seeing anything, though, because. And they keep the head. It just says he's a Mason, but it doesn't say, let's try this. Ooh, I got it. I'm going to actually write his name in the search thing, and then I'm just going to say Freemason. Boom. That'll work, right? Shit. I went the wrong
way. Theoretically.
Let's try it.
You're a paste. Genius Googler.
Freemason. Let's hear. I'm not seeing anything Freemason.
No, while you're looking that up,
why is everything so...
United Grand Lodge of Russia does, in fact, exist. I'm kind of checking to see who they mutually recognize, although Wikipedia is definitely not the best source of information on that.
Right.
But it seems like, I mean, their landmarks are the same as ours. I mean, you may be admitted to the United Grand Lodge of Russia, male candidates who have reached the age of 21, believes in the great architect of the universe, have a good reputation, no criminal record. I mean, it seems to be recognizable. Obviously, I don't know what their ritual is, but I would imagine it's probably close enough to the work of other major Grand Lodges that what? The KGB just shut down the internet? What happened? Should I worry?
I clicked onto something to like look at his name, and it completely switched the whole damn web server.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh!
Yeah, I'm not worried.
Anyway, continue.
It's fine. Yeah, the principles all seem to be the same. There are 11 lodges, at least at the writing of this, if this is accurate, there are 11 lodges that are constituted under the United Grand Lodge of Russia. Total number of Masons, around 200, which was cited in, let's see if I can figure out the citation on this. Yeah, so that was around between 2009 and 2015 or so. So it's actually a fairly small number of Masons in the entire country, and 11 lodges total, which is not a lot for
especially
the total population
size,
and given the geographic size of that country. So doesn't seem to be super popular. The United Grand Lodge of Russia was also formed in October of 2008,
fairly new then. So they were pretty much.
There was no kind of unified body prior to that. There's a little bit of a history here on kind of.
I wonder how they got going though. You know what I mean? Did like Masons come from other countries to help set it up and show them how to do it?
Some members of the regular Grand Lodge of Russia, which kind of pre-existed, the United Grand Lodge of Russia, tried to establish relationships with the Grand Lodges of France. History and foundation of the installation of the UGLR is described as follows by a masonry historian. On October 11th, 2008, during the solemn assembly and under the patronage of the Grand Lodge of France, the United Grand Lodge of Russia was established. Grand Lodge of France granted the UGLR patent for the right to operate. According to the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite, 11 lodges were part of the UGLR. So it seems like they received their charter under, kind of dispensation from France.
Right.
Became a regular Grand Lodge and then formed 11 lodges, although it says it's part of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite, which...
Humble beginnings. Got to start somewhere, right? Keith Newland, as a quarterly communications from the United Grand Lodge of England, we still recognize the Grand Lodge of Russia and Ukraine. Wonder how long that's going to last for.
I would imagine it should continue to last. I mean... Masons are not the ones doing all of this, right? I would imagine. So it's
not
weird
really.
Because it's a political thing, it's a military thing. Mm. It's not a Mason thing.
Not really.
Right? I mean, if you recognize your brothers in a particular country and then all of a sudden the leaders of that country decide to go to war with you, do you no longer feel that they're brothers? It's right. a tough question.
Right.
I would say no. I mean, they're still my brothers.
Yeah.
They're not fighting me.
Joseph Schultz, worship brother Joseph Schultz, they should hold a joint pancake breakfast. Keith Noonan and Chili cook off to decide the winner.
That would solve everything, right?
Or a wrestling match between the leaders, type Tablet of Enki style.
That could work.
It's your predecessor to Greek wrestling.
That'd be a sight to see. Oh, man, maybe I won't. I don't want to
Joseph Schultz says, don't let Josie enter that Chili cook-off. The fighting would get worse.
He does add an element of drama to any Chili proceeding.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I don't really know what's going to happen with that. I mean, I know there's protests in Russia. People are pissed off that he did with his thing.
They're also kind of suppressing all of those protests as well.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They're putting them down. They're like, no, you can't do that. You can't come out in the streets and protest.
Yeah.
It's not one of the things you can do.
Just kind of makes you wonder, like, you know, if they're a democracy, should be allowed to...
Technically, yeah, but I mean, it all kind of depends on what you're constitutionally allowed to do, right? I don't think their constitution guarantees the right of public assembly. Maybe it does, but clearly they're enacting some kind of contingency whereby they can say, oh, no, we're under whatever martial law, so you can't do this anymore. But they were definitely putting down a couple protests that I saw, which it kind of tells you, it's telling in that at least you know that, you know, the majority or a good part of the Russian population are not, like, behind what their leaders are doing, right? It would be one thing, I think, if everybody was united under the same flag or were manipulated into believing that the justification that they're using is legit, but, you know, at least that doesn't seem to be the case, although, you know, it's not really solace for the folks that are affected in Ukraine right now, so.
So, damn. So I'm on the Lee Musikoff asked a good question. Brother Lee asked. He said, "Did the UGLE stop recognizing the Grand Lodges in the U.S. during the War of 1812?" I don't think they recognized. I don't think they recognized them even before then. To be honest with you, or even after then. I think that came much, much later.
You had a bunch of lodges that were chartered mostly under. Oh, man, it was like Scotland and...
lodges, though, not Grand Lodges. The Grand Lodges came later.
Right, yes.
So,
but a lot of them were receiving their charters not from England, but from, you know, Scotland.
Well, we got one in Connecticut that Hiram won. That was chartered by the UGLE.
Okay.
That wasn't chartered by the Grand Lodge of Connecticut. And as a matter of fact, that's why they wear their aprons under their jackets.
Yeah, that's because they predated the Lodge.
They predated the Grand Lodge because the Grand Lodge came to pull their charter and said, no, 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 because you're wearing your aprons. You have to wear them over. And
we had lodges that were chartered from Boston. Yeah. Before we had a Grand Lodge, there were lodges in this state that were chartered by like Boston and other areas. So it wasn't uncommon for that kind of thing to happen. I don't know that there was ever a change in recognition at a Grand Lodge level because of a war, but that's an interesting question. We should check on that. So, freaking Keith Noonan.
I'm actually looking at...
shouldn't recognize you now after you chucked our tea in the river. Come at me, bro.
Hey, I heard Americans are chucking vodka in the river.
Oh, don't do that.
I did that, huh?
Push it out.
Let's see. Oh, I'm just going through all the foreign Grand Lodges that the UGLE recognizes. I mean, pretty much all 50 states from what I'm seeing here. And I'm actually going to go through and look to see if they recognize the Grand Lodge of Ruska.
Yeah, so the question really
be
Europe? Is...
That would be Europe, right?
That would be the continent that you have to search.
Yes. Yeah, Grand Lodge of Russia, right there. Yep.
Okay.
Bingo.
So there's mutual recognition there. And again, I don't think that kind of thing would change over time. Like to all of a sudden not recognize a Grand Lodge.
Oh, I was able to change it to English. Boom!
Yeah, I
got
was going to say there's usually a language selector.
Grand Lodge of Russia, regularly recognized only Masonic organization officially operating in the territory of the Russian Federation. Pretty cool. I'm actually looking at their website right now. You can Google translate it over to...
that must be a tough place to be a Mason, given everything that's going on since 2014.
Mm.
Yeah, and people start trying to demonize you.
Yeah.
It's a scary place. You probably don't want to, you know, put a square and compasses on the back of your car.
Dude, they got a magazine and everything. This is gangster shit right here.
Gangster.
They got a Russian
masonry. They have a nicer website than we do, I will say that.
Hell yeah, they do.
It's a great website.
This is awesome. You guys could check this shit out. This is pretty cool. World recognition. Here we go. Boom. Now we're getting somewhere.
Look at you. You don't even have to learn how to read.
I don't even have to learn to read. This is awesome. North America and Grand Lodge of Connecticut does recognize them.
Does recognize them?
Yeah, they're right here.
At least they recognize us. So there's probably mutual recognition there. Yeah, and has that changed?
Yeah.
I don't think it will. The only time I've seen recognition change in the years since I've been going to Grand Lodge is usually if, you know, either somebody starts doing something ritually that's more similar to us in like kind of regular and accepted masonry, or if they deviate from that.
Wow. Even it's the Grand Lodge, even the Grand Lodge of Texas too. I figured.
Yeah. No, I mean, as long as, look, as long as there's kind of like ritual parity between grand jurisdictions, there's generally mutual recognition. It's not like they're like, oh, you believe in something different than us, or at least your government does or whatever. I've never seen that as a justification for changing mutual recognition. It may happen. I've never seen it happen in Connecticut that way.
39, 40.
Oh, God, you're doing math now?
So 40 states, Grand Lodges they recognize. So I don't know which ones.
That's still pretty good. But you know what? It's probably a lack of ritual parity with the other ones, right?
Ah,
it's not close enough to what they consider to be, you know, or the, you know, because, look, as long as the landmarks are the same and there's reasonable ritual parity, there's no reason why you wouldn't. It's not like a political thing, and I don't think it ever really is. I could be wrong.
Oh, I got their history. Let's read this shit. I want to see this stuff. History of Freemasonry in Russia. I'm pulling this right off their website.
So they'll probably tell you about prior to the formation of the United Grand Lodge of Russia.
So let's go here. Yeah. Freemasonry in Russia is a phenomenon in social life in Russia, which covers a period of history from the beginning of the 18th century to present day. Russian Freemasonry pursues humanistic and educational goals. More attention is paid to the ethical issues. In fact, it is a spiritual community of people who are united in their desire to contribute to the prosperity of their fatherland and the enlightenment of people living in it.
Mm-hmm.
In the 18th century, Freemasonry appeared in Russia in the middle of the 18th century. In Masonic legends, the founders of Freemasonry in Russia are often called Peter the First, interesting, and his associates Franz Liefort and Patrick Gordon. This Patrick Gordon sounds either American or English.
Definitely doesn't sound Russian. Yeah.
This version, however, is not documented. Okay. Or at least they noted it. The first reliable news of the appearance of the first Masonic organization in Russia dates to 1731, when the Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of London, Lord Lovell, appointed Captain John Phillips as the provincial Grand Master of Russia. I'm glad it was Captain John Phillips and not John Paul Jones.
No, yeah.
He kind of went around the English island going,
yeah, that's a different John. He was a character.
Yeah, he was a little bit of a hothead. Freemasonry became widespread in Russia with the founding of several Masonic lodges by General of the Russian Services James Keith in the 1740s. Jesus, a lot of American or English names in this one. The documents of the Grand Lodge of England indicate that in 1741, he was appointed provincial Grand Master of Russia. Initially, most of the members of the Russian lodges were foreigners. Officers in the Russian service are in merchants, but soon number of Russian-born Masons began to grow. Yeah, you gotta start somewhere. Sometimes you gotta bring in, you gotta
import them.
Import that shit in.
Yep.
In the 1750s, a lodge operated in St. Petersburg under the leadership of Count R.I. Vorostov. Voronstov. Yeah, we'll go with it.
Yeah, that's good enough.
what are we at? All right. For the first time, the government of the Russian Empire paid attention to Freemasons in 1747. Here we go.
Yeah.
There is news of the existence of the Silent Lodge in St. Petersburg and the Northern Star in Riga in 1750. In 1756, there was St. Petersburg Lodge, where the master of the lodge was Count R.I. Voronstov. And the members were mostly young guards officers, many with names that were later significant from history. Prince M.M. Gerbatov. Yeah. I.N. Bolton, A.P. Sumarkov, and others. Then the Freemasons were ultimately under the supervision of the government and inspired panic fear in society. Yeah, we tend to do that.
We don't cause it, I don't
we
think.
We don't cause it. No, I'm just saying, like, if you look through history, even like when Freemasonry and even the Illuminati, like, that was the thing. The Illuminati infiltrated the Freemasons, and then, you know, there's letters circulating that, you know, it's controlled by a secret, and it's carried ever since.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, we don't do it intentionally. No. It's just kind of when you have a society or a group of men that are shutting behind closed doors and everybody's like, what are they doing in there?
Yeah.
Oh, become, they got to be burying babies in the basement.
Yeah. You become targeted by people who just kind of ascribe their own ideas on what you may be doing in your basement.
We call them douchebags.
Conspiracy theorists, I guess.
At the same time, according to legend, Emperor Peter III established a Masonic lodge in Orentienbaum and donated a house to the St. Petersburg Lodge permanence. In 1762, there was a lodge in St. Petersburg, Happy Accord, recognized in 1763 by the Berlin Grand National Maternal Lodge, Three Globes. I'm going to fast forward here because I want to read more about what's current because this is a long-ass article.
Well, they get... I love how they get more into the history than the Wikipedia article did. So if anybody's interested in their formation, there's a lot on their website.
Yeah, their Grand Lodge website is awesome. I love this. This is I get more of this than Wikipedia. They're like, there's a lodge.
Yeah, they exist. There's 11 of them.
Freaking Wikipedia. Yep. Here we go. So this is at the beginning of the 20th century. The first lodges in Russia after their ban in 1822 appeared at the beginning... Again, at the beginning of the 20th century, under Emperor Nicholas II in 1905, under the auspices of the Grand Orient of France. Interesting.
Yep.
They are very widespread in the country at the historical period. I'm going to just fast forward again because I'm trying to speed this up. They found Congress in Moscow. So they had actually created the Great East of the Peoples of Russia was created at the founding Congress in Moscow in the summer of 1912. Characteristic between was the abolition of a number of mandatory items in the work of Masonic lodges. They abolished the apprenticeship degree.
Oh,
The simplification of rules. The writing of political programs instead of the architectural works and discussion of political issues at meetings. Okay. So this is what happens when Grand Lodges dip their fingers into, at least my opinion is the way I'm reading it, they dip their fingers into lodge ritual and stuff. Oh, you can't say that no more.
So did it say that they were doing away with that or they were like entering political discourse into the lodge?
No, the way I'm reading it, and again, I'm kind of zipping through this, but they basically formed the Grand Orient of the Peoples of Russia.
Right.
The Great East of the Peoples of Russia was created at the founding Congress in Moscow. So they created it, which would, and I guess that would be considered a Grand Lodge, the Great East of the Peoples of Russia.
Yep.
And then what they started doing is they started just chucking shit out of the ritual. No more enter apprentice degree.
Well, that's a
simplification
big deal,
of rituals. Oh, we're going to get rid of all of the architectural works, and we're going to talk about political issues.
So that's why they would.
So they're starting to manipulate and rip apart what it actually was.
That's when you start losing recognition.
Losing recognition, and also you start. You've now taken something that's benign. You've taken something that was. Meant for the enlightenment of people, and now you're gearing it toward a goal.
Yeah, you're making it part of the political machine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as I said, and again, I shit on Grand Lodges a lot. I apologize, Grand Lodges, but I hope they don't take it as me being Grand Lodge officers if they are listening to this or soon to be, Grand Masters. I hope they don't take it as me being an a-hole, but rather take it as a. How do I put this?
A healthy discourse about leadership in Freemasonry in the state of Connecticut. How about that?
Good leaders listen to their soldiers. Great, good generals listen to their soldiers. They give them the heartbeat of what's going on the ground floor. Yep. That's kind of what I'm saying. And I would implore Grand Lodges to stay out of local lodge stuff.
Yeah.
Meaning, the whole states' rights thing.
Don't change our rituals. Don't tell us what we can and can't say in a ritual. Again, we call that, in Connecticut, we have this thing called lodge tradition. Lodges traditionally do things different than what the actual freaking book says.
There's certain things that you can vary on based on lodge tradition and other things that you can't. I think, you know, at least our Grand Lodge has been pretty good about not changing anything ritual-wise. They clarify a couple things here and there. They, you know, add and subtract if something doesn't, like, make a whole heck of a lot of sense. I kind of agree with most of it.
And I'm not going to get too, this is part of our obligation, so I'm not going to go too deep into this. But one of the things we say is basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, this is not our ritual, but it says basically, oh, all of this is just, it's just hyperbole. We're just, you know, none of this is going to happen to you.
Right.
Why put it in there? Why?
Because it's still part of the original thing. It's still part of a ritual.
But it's not. That wasn't in the, that's not the ritual that I'm sure Washington went through or Benjamin Franklin went through.
The stuff that they're talking about with that paragraph is stuff that is from original Freemasonry. If you just remove that,
I'm talking not removing that part of it.
No, I know.
Not the penalties. I'm talking about the second half of it where it's like, oh, we're just playing. Why? Leave it in there or take it out. Why does that need to be in there?
The paragraph about it. I think it was
afterward. It's like, oh, we're not going to do anything. This is all just. You know,
I mean, we have talked about. We have to do some research on that because I'd love to know exactly when it got entered in.
But
we'll
here's
talk
the
about
thing.
It a few times.
Here's the thing. If some lodgers were like, yeah, we don't want to use that. Because, again, everybody knows, you know, we're not going to lop your freaking head off. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're not going to hang you up by your toes. Like, you know that in modern society, you can't just go around doing that shit. So, obviously, we're just saying it for the hell of it.
So,
you know, we're
would
just
a lodge
saying
be able to say, to claim...
Lodges have taken it out, and they got in trouble for it.
Okay.
Stay out of it. Again, at the end of our ritual, when we're closing... There's one part that, the way I used to do
that
it...
That one I can see both sides on. That particular issue I can see
You're talking
both
about
sides
the end
on.
Of when we're closing?
No. The one about the...
Oh, okay,
during
okay.
the penalties.
Here's
like,
another
I get
one.
That.
When we're closing lodge, the master steps down and he says, and I'll be in the blessings of heaven, blah, blah, blah. Takes his hat off and he says that whole part.
Yeah.
I never said that. I let the chaplain do it. Why? Because the chaplain's the guy who's responsible for the freaking...
Right, but that's the one prayer that the master is supposed to do according to the ritual. Yeah.
Why? You have a chaplain that's supposed to read it.
It's the way it always was, George.
No, it wasn't all the way it was.
It's the way it always was in Grand Lodge ritual.
Make it Grand Lodge ritual. That's the point. Look in the front of the damn book and see how many times that some bitch was revised.
It's been revised.
Leave it alone. That's my point. Now I'm pissed off.
I can't win an argument with this man. Now he's getting angry.
No, I'm just teasing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's been around since longer than you will. Leave it alone. Thank you. Then we're going to get over here. They're ripping it apart, basically. And what happened, the governing structure of the... I'm going to see right here.
So while we're looking that up, Matt Haechi actually says, hey, brothers, I'm on my way to lodge practice. Awesome. Good.
Awesome.
Rehearse. Always rehearse. Currently going through the chairs. Awesome. Our chaplain says the closing. So there you go, George. The chaplain says the closing prayer in his particular lodge.
Thank
so
you.
It may vary Thank between you. Jurisdictions. It's not like it's
all right.
cast in stone as part of the landmarks.
So what I'm basically seeing is... this particular thing had some lodges, and then it says was a few hundred people, and then they stopped working after the 1917 revolution. So that was it. They killed it.
It was the end of that Grand Lodge.
At the end of the 20th century, Georgie... Oh, it's always a good... See? We're
it's
good peeps.
Gotta be
We're good
Georgie.
Peeps. G-E-O-R-G-Y. Georgie Derkachev. It's always a good... see, Georgians are just good people. Yep. Just throwing it out there.
It's probably pronounced Georgi or something.
Georgi. Mm. First Grand Master, 1995 to 2002. The first work of the Harmony, number 698, of the Grand National Lodge of France took place in Moscow, September 7th, 1992.
I like that lodge name for some reason. Harmony.
Your lodge, my name. Yes. In 1990, with the initiation of Georgi... Derkachev, the first Freemason in modern history, the revival of Freemasonry in Russia began. On April 28th, 1991, in Moscow, under the auspices of the Grand Orient of France, the first Masonic Lodge was opened. In total, from 1991 to 1997, six lodges of the Grand Orient of France were opened. Northern Star, Free Russia, Nine Muses, Northern Brothers, Polar Star, and Moscow.
Cool names. Northern Star. I like that.
So I'm just going to leave this here. You guys should all check this out. This is pretty cool to actually see. I didn't think it was going to go this way, but that's pretty cool. Let's see here. Let's go back to the comments. And then, like I said, I think we're pretty much.
We're good.
Wrap it up. I just want to say, on a side note, though I do condemn what the Russian government is doing right now in Ukraine and all the people who are getting killed on either side of the conflict, I have no pretensions against the Russian Grand Lodge or the Masons over in Russia. It's not how this works.
No. These are leaders that are really creating these particular conflicts. Mm-hmm. So I firmly believe that, you know, if you talk to any civilian on either side of that border, they have no qualms with one another. I don't think this is something that's based on patriotism or nationalism. It's purely... I don't know. I don't know what the actual justification is, real reason, so I'm not going to speculate, but it's not a deep-seated hatred between these two groups of people. No. I don't feel like, you know, and I would never an issue with any of my Russian brothers or Ukrainian.
And realistically, you know, Masons come up from all walks of life, even over there. Mm-hmm. It's all the same thing. Like, it's the same thing as over here. Like, there are some can you stop doing that? It's distracting. Thank you. Throw the limoncello at you, watch you just melt into the ground, because I don't know what the hell was in that.
Yeah, that stuff is not right. Change my opinion on it.
But I just want to say, you know, Masons in all countries come from all walks of life. So realistically, to just like Masons, you shouldn't hate an entire group of Masons, like, because you know they're Masons, you know, or you know, the actions of one or two people of the same country. Like, Christ, the United States does shitty things all the time.
Yeah.
Does that mean you should hate us? No, we're just people living our lives, and we belong to a fraternity.
Yeah.
So I just want to leave that there.
Yep.
And that goes for vice versa with the Ukraine and all that stuff. No different. Like, you know.
They're still your brothers.
I would love to hear if there's actually any war stories over there of Masons actually meeting each other on the front lines over there. We heard about it during our Civil War. I wonder if that shit still happens.
Well, we've heard about it during a lot of wars.
Hey,
in fact, pretty much every conflict that I can think of, there have been stories like that.
And here's the thing. Like, you're seeing all the shit on the news, all the bad crap on the news. I would love for some good things on the news, like, or not good things, but I'd love to hear a good story. If you're a Ukrainian Mason or a Russian Mason and you meet a brother across enemy lines, I'd love to hear about it. Please, message us. Let us know. I'd love to hear it. Here, James Ferguson. I was told the Grand Orient of France was clandestine. They turned into a socialist think tank.
Soviet.
I don't know much about them. I'll be dead ass honest with you. What's going on, Ligarius?
So there is. I heard rumblings, James Ferguson. I don't know the details, but I remember somebody in some meeting. It might have been like a York Rite meeting, mentioning something about the Grand Orient of France. I'll have to do a little bit more research on that. But I might know what you're stepping in. Or
I don't
smell what you're stepping in.
Yeah. I really don't know. I don't know much about them. You know, I'm pretty much of the opinion that, you know, it's cool. You're a Mason. It's cool.
Yeah. Something happened with, you know, that Grand Lodge and.
James Ferguson, the George Washington Masonic National Memorial light up with the colors of the Ukrainian flag. No shit.
Is that a suggestion or did that actually happen?
I don't know. I'd love to know that. Ligarius, maybe we should come up with a patch or something for fellow Masons to wear on their uniform. Like the Marines, we have random patches. I think we should all just get patches of Puppet George.
Is that against, like, uniform code?
Just a little patch of Puppet George with the middle finger up.
Would you be able to put, like, square and compasses on your uniform?
Yeah, it's
not
at least
in
our military, no.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, even though in Vietnam we had, like, Born to Kill written across the head and a patch
well,
of
that's
smoke
just,
on the side.
That's just somebody using a Sharpie.
With the sleeves cut off, like...
Yeah. It's different. You can't officially do it.
No, I don't believe you can. Yeah. And that even goes for...
Oh, so James Ferguson said it actually happened. Okay,
actually
so
happened.
They
oh,
did
shit.
Light it up. That's cool.
All right. Cool.
Well, so the Grand Lodge of
put a picture
Washington,
on our fan
DC
page
or whatever. Yeah, apparently took a stand on things. So
the forget-me-not has done me well. Yeah. That's a good one. Forget me not is the
old forget me not.
Was that World War II?
That was Hitler's favorite flower. Yeah, that was a World War II Masonic thing. They used to put it on their lapels to, you know, all the Nazis thought, oh, this is just a favorite flower of our, you know, the whatever they call him. It was a term for Hitler,
Ligarius,
the Führer or whatever.
Ligarius.
And they were like, oh yeah, that's what it's about. That's how all the Masons had mutual recognition during World War II. Yeah.
Ligarius Thomas, you can put Velcro patch on your flak. Yeah, you can put it on there, but I can see Gunnery Sergeant Hartman coming down the squad bay. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, anybody who's like ever seen screaming at you.
What is that, Private Pyle? Yeah. Like, or better yet, Animal House. What is that on your uniform? A pledge pin? What do you say, Kenny?
Yeah, I think we're good.
I hope we beat this.
We're just gonna get in more trouble, and I'm gonna have to get more personal security. It's gonna be
Animal House references.
Yeah.
A pledge pin.
A pledge pin.
All right, Ken.
Shut it out.
Yeah, I'm for the Freemasons podcast. Thanks you guys for all tuning in. We'll catch you next time. I am Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry signing off. Forgot my damn name.
Yeah, and I'm Worshipful Brother Ken signing off. Thank you, brothers. Appreciate your tolerance of our antics here.
Shenanigans!
Yes. We do our best. This is all for you.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, brothers and friends.
A pledge pin.
A pledge pin.